Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What is the connection between sculpture, nature, and culture? Artist Jaume Plensa explores these questions in much of his work, from the dazzling crown fountain that anchors Chicago's Millennium Park to the giant wireframe head called Show, recently installed outside the Meadows Museum on the SMU campus. This Saturday, the Nasher Sculpture Center will open a major exhibition of Plensa's works, which will be displayed in the museum's indoor spaces, its garden, and for the first time ever on the street outside the gallery. Jaume Plensa is in town to oversee the installation of the pieces on display. We are delighted that he would make time to talk about this on the show. Jaume, welcome to Think.
Thank you.
Your parents were musicians, is that right?
Well, not exactly right. It was my father who was playing piano all the time at home. And I remember when I was a child, I liked to hide inside the piano. It was a vertical piano and with sliding doors in the bottom. And I remember to hide inside, and when my father was playing, to feel the vibration of the instrument was fantastic. Probably it's something that influenced a lot my work later, probably.
That love of sensation and strong sensation.
Well, yes. I love a lot poetry, and William Blake said something very beautiful, who said, "One thought fills immensity." And I guess he was thinking about this amazing energy that we can spread out without words, only without our energy, the aura that it's coming out from our bodies. And it's a kind of language in itself. And I remember the vibrations of that piano. It's probably similar of the vibrations of our own bodies.
Mm-hmm. One thing that always makes me envious of sculptors is that you actually get, as you're creating these pieces, to touch them and to feel them and to sort of have that tactile sensation. And, of course, that's not something we typically are able to do when we experience a piece in a gallery setting or in a museum. Do we lose something by that, or is there almost an energy created by the desire to touch and the inability to do so?
Well, actually, I was born in the Mediterranean area. That means that I'm a very physical person. I need to verify, to touch. And I guess ideas also are something with a certain physical component that you can touch it. I'm working a lot with light, with sound, with elements that people feel that are untouchable. But for me, it's the same like stainless steel, wood, or something else, or bronze. And because for me, the most important part are not exactly the object, but the energy that that object produces in the space. And I guess the interaction of people, the visitors, could find that at Nasher. The interaction of them with my work produces a certain electricity around. That is for me the most important part.
How does the installation process work for you? You're there as everything's being put into place, and do you get to make decisions about where things would work best?
Unfortunately, yes. Because
unfortunately.
Yes, no, because I don't know if by the time, I guess every single detail becomes so important and key that I remember when we were packing all the pieces to the Nasher show in my studio in Barcelona, I remember I was fighting with one of the technicians putting the crates inside the containers. And he said, "But Jaume, I guess I'm doing well. Why you are so angry?" And I said, sorry, it's true. Because I guess I was putting much more things than not the sculptures. I guess I was filling up the containers with something more than objects, crates, sculptures. And I guess my job is a privilege, but it's also a kind of horrible obsession, in the way that 1 centimeter, 1 inch more or less could be for me a disaster. No? Mm-hmm. And that is the pleasure in that case to install that exhibition at the Nasher, because the building has an amazing harmony. It's always based in two numbers, 1 and 2. Everything is the double of the other element. And it creates, it dialogues pretty well with my work, because my work is pretending also to produce a certain quietness, a certain silence, a certain to pass a certain message about peace and something peaceful for visitors. And I'm extremely pleased because I guess the Renzo Piano's building and my work are really, it fits perfectly together.
So do you feel like when you're installing something or when you are creating a piece for the first time, with that particular project, is there only one way that it can be perfect, or could it evolve and be equally perfect if it went two different directions?
That's a good question, because I guess one work could be many at the same time. I completely agree with you. It's the most hard moment for an artist to take the decision to fix that sculpture in one shape, in one position, because you know that could be many. But I guess the when an art piece is working, it's great. It's when people in front of that work could read those possibilities. And an art work should be always open to other interpretations. You need the point of depart, of course, but don't mean that is the only message inside. Many times I'm trying to compare my work with a bottle with a message. Of course, I have to do a perfect bottle to try to help the message to go as far as possible and in perfect conditions. But I don't know exactly the message because it's inside the bottle. I could not open the bottle. I just tried to protect a bottle to do a fantastic bottle. But the message, it's always abstract. And it's something that we will share one day, somebody in the other side of the wall and me. And I guess that is just beautiful. It's almost poetry.
Do you start with an idea for the message that you want to put into that bottle, or does the vision of the sound and the shape and the color and the texture of a piece come to you first, and then in your mind you have to decide what it all means?
Well, I guess I'm a very intuitive artist. I guess you have to open your heart and just follow your intuitions. Many times I think to create, it's similar like to swim in a dark pool. When you are in the swimming in the darkness of the night, you don't know exactly what's happening around you. I guess creation is a little bit similar. Many times you have to go out and you breathe again, but you go back to continues in that kind of darkness. I guess intuition is really important. Somebody like Einstein, that it was a brilliant person, said that intuition is much more important than knowledge. And I agree completely with him in that way, because creation is just 1 second, something happens. The key point is to know the way to follow that intuition. You have to be open to follow one or another direction, because you never know which direction your intuitions will take. And that is a very nice part of my job.
So when a piece is finally finished, are you sort of exhausted but relaxed, or are you a little bit sad that now this thing is done?
Well, you know, an artist is never satisfied. It's part of our nature, probably, because when you finish a piece, you are already dreaming about the next. Because for us, the best piece is the piece that we have not yet in front of us. That is always the best. But in any case, now I have a quite long career behind me. And looking back, I could tell you that I learned the way to accept my present pieces. I guess it's important one day, because maybe I'm more mature or whatever. Looking back, many of my mistakes becomes also one quality for me, and I accept the complete body of my work, and that it's important, because you can look at that to the future with an amazing energy, and every piece is a celebration for me. Because I'm not competing with nobody. I mean, my art is mine. You could not compare. And I guess that it's also very important, because suddenly everything becomes a dialogue with the rest of the world, and a beautiful metaphor about society. We are talking now, you and me, And it's the same that one day my piece could talk with somebody else. I mean, and that, I guess, it's the privilege of my job.
It's pretty exciting to think that your pieces could talk to someone else centuries after you're no longer on the planet. This conversation is evanescent, but what you create will be there.
Yeah, but yesterday, well, actually, I have to say that every night I'm walking back to the Nasher to see the two pieces that I install in the street illuminated, are blowing, and it's just so beautiful. Every night I'm going back just to see that. But, you know, the galleries are illuminated during the evening. And quite close to the window is this beautiful Brancusi piece, The Keys. And yesterday I was dreaming, maybe in the evening, well, it's a famous movie now in the cinemas, that all the objects in the museum gets alive during the evening.
Yeah, the night at the museum.
Exactly, night in the museum. And I was thinking, wow, maybe the Brancusi piece gets alive during the evening and they could relax a little bit to be kissing forever. Because they are embracing each other since I don't know how many years that Brancusi did the piece. And maybe in the evening when the guardians switch off the light, they just stop to kiss and relax. Well, I love to imagine art as something alive that permanently has the capacity to communicate. Because when Brancusi did that piece, it was one of his early works. Well, he never thought about me that one day in Dallas it was in front of his work. But the dialogue just comes up spontaneously, because his work is still alive. And Brancusi is alive, but you see Giacometti, you see Joseph Beuys, the collection is amazing, Gauguin, etc. I hope my work one day will be the same, as alive as they are today.
Jaume Plensa is my guest. He is an artist whose exhibition, Jaume Plensa, Genus and Species, will open on January 30th through May 2nd. That'll be at the Nasher Sculpture Center. You can find some examples of his work at nashersculpturecenter.org or at jaumeplensa.com. Right now, we will invite you to join the conversation by calling 800-933-5372 and invite you to support the station by calling 1-888-694-6931. Jeff Whittington is here now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. I want to thank John Blaylock, a new member from Mesquite. Thank you, John. Also, Peggy Strange, who made an additional gift from Arlington.
Thank you, Peggy.
Also, Milce Colazzo from Arlington's a new member. Jane Joyner, renewed in Fort Worth. Jennifer Morgan in Garland. Betty Williamson in Azle. Ken Dixon in Aubrey. And Alyssa DuBose in Dallas. Thanks so much to each of you for calling 888-694-6931 or for contributing online at kera.org.
Your contribution makes it possible for us to bring you the world's most influential people. You will recognize Jaume Plensa's work. If you haven't already heard of him, you will recognize his work as you look at it. You're probably planning a trip to the Nasher to see the special exhibition. We are able to bring you this in-depth conversation because of your support. Would not be possible to have any kind of substantive discussion in a 3-minute soundbite sort of way. Public radio allows us the freedom to really get into the subjects that you care about.
And when you join KERA with a contribution at 1-888-694-6931, you're supporting a community. You're joining a community of arts and education organizations. The Nasher and KERA have a relationship, and that's why we're able to have these conversations. And you're supporting that when you call 1-888-694-6931. Or contribute online at kera.org.
The amount of your contribution is up to you. You can look at your budget. You can look at the amount of time you spend listening. We are almost positive that it's worth $10 or $20 or $30 a month if you consider the amount of information you get and the ways that KERA enriches your life, both on this program and all the others throughout the broadcast day. Please give us a call now at 1-888-694-6931 or go online to kera.org. Back in just a minute with Jaume Plensa.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses begin this spring. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is artist Jaume Plensa. There is an exhibition at the Nasher Sculpture Center that opens January 30th, that's Saturday, and runs through May 2nd, called Jaume Plensa, Genus and Species. He is in town to oversee the installation and do several events in connection with that opening. You can join the conversation this afternoon by calling us at 1-800-933-5372 or sending email to think@kera.org. So much of your work explores the form of the human body. Can you talk about what makes that so particularly fascinating for you?
Well, actually, I always thought that the human body is like a geography in itself. And obviously, I know pretty well my body I'm living with since 50 years. And that was the point of the part. That means to use your body as a material, a canvas where you can display your ideas. I guess human body, through all history, it was the best base of work for all the artists. I mean, not only because the body in itself, but also the absence of that body, mm-hmm. you know, in positive or in negative. And many times I'm not working with the body. For example, some of the words are with letters or with just words, but it's always the presence of the human condition, the human beings, the human nature, this idea of people around. And many times I'm asking the parents to bring the kids to an hospital and to check the sound of the bloodstream together. Because the sound of the blood in our body is just amazing. It's extraordinarily beautiful. I did several works with, and it's really the sound of our life. In the trees, our blood is circulating inside, and they have sound, they have a color, they have a physical shape. And many times we just don't see it because it's so familiar for us that we don't pay more attention about it. I guess the body is so rich in concepts and terms. It's endless as a project.
One thing that's really interesting about listening to the sound of the blood rushing through the body is that, yes, it's with us all the time, but we can't hear it unless we listen in a special way. We need to sort of either put our ear up to someone's heart or we need to get a stethoscope. And it sort of requires you to stop the way you normally experience your own body and do something different.
Well, actually, our body, it's very beautiful, but very noisy. That means that our own body don't allow us to hear the sounds of our body. It's a very funny contradiction. Mm-hmm. When you really has the capacity to listen the sound of the bodies when you are inside your mom, and you listen the sound of your mom, but not yours, but you always have the intuition of that sound. We go back again to intuition. And that is the reason to invite everybody to really listen to the sound of their body and to produce silence, because our society is very noisy and also... And I guess silence is important, but it does not exist. That it was also something very interesting that John Cage, the musician, was developing quite deep. The silence, the idea of the silent place. And my work, since always, are also pretending... to evoke this idea of silence as well.
There's a certain irony in that human bodies are never fixed in time. We're mm-hmm. always changing and getting stronger or getting weaker or, mm-hmm. you know, aging. But once you finish a sculpture or an installation, it really doesn't change very much.
No, but that is the beauty of a sculpture. Mm-hmm. I mean, when everything is moving, you find a place where you can really feel protected. In the middle of the stream, you need a pole to fix your boat sometimes. And I guess a sculpture is this. It's very similar to poetry. I love to be in movement, but I guess it's nice to know where to go back. And I guess a sculpture is that place. It's a home where everybody could go back and feel comfortable and protected. I guess that it's the most beautiful part of sculpture, because many times people has a huge confusion about technology. It seems that thanks to other medias, we are losing parts of sculpture or painting, because it's photography, we don't need to paint anymore, or because it's video, we don't need to do sculpture or whatever. No, everything, it's overlapping and important, because it's talking about different possibilities or different aspects to see our reality around. And I guess sculpture has an amazing, amazing possibility to create links with, let's say, abstraction, divinities. But mainly for me is this kind of huge home where everybody could go back and feel comfortable and relaxed.
A lot of your work has incorporated not simply text, but just individual letters that you use as sort of a canvas in their own right. Can you talk about what appeals to you about letter forms?
Well, actually, we were talking about my father and the piano, but he was a very big reader. He liked very much to read books. And my house was surrounded always with books and text. And one day I decided to incorporate that text into my pieces because it was also my memory. And for me, a letter, it's just a cell. But it seems nothing because it's just a simple letter. But together with others, they could compose words, texts with texts, culture. That means from the smaller to the greatest. It's this idea that around the stone, the temple, around the temple, the city, around the city, the country, you know, from one very little grain of sand, you can really describe everything. And I guess a letter is a beautiful metaphor of society. One single person seems nothing, but with another, they could create a community, you know. And I'm working many times with different alphabets as well. For example, people will see at Nashe a piece called Twins, which is two human figures made out with letters.
Very large.
Very large. Composed by eight alphabets. It's Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, Japanese, Greek, Russian, Hindi, and Latin. And every letter has a specific shape that describes perfectly the background of the culture that produced that graphic design, let's say. I guess it's the best brief of one culture, a background, a tradition, and how well they work together. That means that our diversity, it's the best way to be together. It's many times people think, no, I'm different. I could not be with them because I'm different. No, that is the most important part, is to be different, because we can exchange information. And as different we could be, more closer we can be all together.
And those human forms, the twin sculptures, are very recognizably human, but they are faceless.
Well, that is something very important. It's a good question, because I prefer to keep the face completely open. Normally my pieces are always unfinished. I guess it's very important to know when you have to abandon something. And I guess it's in the head of visitors to finish the piece. And everyone will finish the piece in a different direction. And my piece, it's becoming more and more rich in terms of contents.
When you do use a face, and I'm thinking people may have seen the piece that's installed outside the Meadows Museum, do you start with a human model, or
sure.
do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, they are real portraits. The piece called Show Outdoor of the Meadows, it was, because it's 3 years later, it was a young girl, 9 years old, which is the daughter of the owner of the Chinese restaurant nearby my studio. Mm-hmm. And it's a very pretty girl, 9 years old. Well, it was 9 years old, now it's 12. And at Nashe, I have two or three portraits more of her, but with elongated head. The Nashe portraits, I follow a little bit the same concept that I did in Chicago at the Crown Fountain, and I elongate all the heads, which gives also a certain kind of, I don't know, a more mystic or more spiritual approach. But it's the same girl at Meadows than at Nashe. At Nashe, I have this girl called Nuria. Then I have two girls from Dominican Republic, Irma and Aguila. Then I have a girl called Anna, which is from the north of Catalonia. And another one called Christina.
And when you work with a subject, what do you talk to them about while you're just studying their face and wanting to understand their features?
Well, actually, I'm just using girls because I'm convinced that the future it's female, and a man it's just an accident. And this sense of female idea of future, well, makes me to look for this kind of girls, but mainly for the faces. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pretending really to do a portrait of this girl, but the portrait of the soul.
Yeah.
My intention was more to talk about the soul. That is the reason that I'm using alabaster. Alabaster, probably people knows, it's a quite translucent stone. And very fragile, very soft and fragile, but translucent. And it, they have a kind of own light inside, coming out from inside. And that it's fantastic because I guess the soul is something really important. And the beauty of the body is great, but the beauty of the soul as well. And this duality is something really important.
Is your soul in those pieces as well?
I hope, but I mean, it's a group of pieces in the garden of Nasha, which is my self-portrait embracing trees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that piece is specifically talking about the soul as well, because I'm convinced that our body gets fixed in a certain size and measure, but our soul continues to grow up. And I'm always thinking, when the soul grows up, where is going to? Because our body gets smaller than our soul. And I'm embracing alive trees. That is a metaphor because the tree continues to grow up and up and up. And probably one day they overflow my arms and they probably will eat my face in the trunk. And I think that it's a very beautiful set of pieces that people could enjoy very much.
Jaume Plensa is my guest. The exhibition Jaume Plensa, Genus and Species, opens on Saturday, January 30th at the Nasher Sculpture Center. You can find examples of his work there at nashersculpturecenter.org. If you would like to join the station now with a gift of support, you can call us at 1-888-694-6931. Support public radio in your community that allows you to experience an in-depth conversation with one of the most influential artists working in the 21st century. Jeff Whittington, most influential producer working here on Think, has joined us. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Chris. Thank you. Want to say thanks to Justin Jones in Fort Worth, Sharat Chandrasekhar in Dallas, Valerie J. in Fort Worth, Amlan Barden in Euless, Deo Bhatti in Mansfield, Sean McGinty in Fort Worth, Edward Dimbro in Louisville, William Adam in Dallas, and John Patterson in Dallas. We're hearing from all over the North Texas area, Chris, at 1-888-694-6931. We're hearing from people everywhere, all over the world, literally, on the website, kera.org. And a lot of people are very interested in the Ken Burns National Parks 6-DVD 12-hour public television series that's available when you join at a minimum, and I emphasize that, of $100.
That is right. You can certainly contribute more and say that's the thank you gift that you would like to take. The telephone number is 1-888-694-6931. I'll tell you the truth. I was looking at that series because a friend had expressed an interest, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get her a copy of the set. And I think the retail price of those, if you were to sort of buy them online from Amazon or whatever, is something like $80.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible
deal.
And of course, we're able to get them at a bit of a discount. So more than $20 of your $100 contribution goes to programming when you choose this as your gift. But it is a wonderful way to really, you know, enjoy the series yourself, make sure that public radio stays strong in your community. Of course, we know a lot of you do not ask for a thank you gift, don't want to take one, and that's great too. We just take your entire contribution and put it toward the programming that you value here on KERA. The telephone number to call is 1-888-694-6931, or you can go online to kera.org.
However you want to make your contribution, credit card, debit card, card, personal check, become a sustaining member when you call 1-888-694-6931. When you go online to KERA.org, you can get all the information you need about those various methods of making your contribution. You can choose whatever level you want to support the station. We've heard from people at all different levels, Chris, during the Think Show today. As a matter of fact, we've heard from enough people that we're up to $305,700 raised toward our overall $600,000 goal. And if I remember correctly, we started around 300,000 ish when the noon hour started.
Right.
So we've heard from many of you. Thank you so much if you have made a contribution. We really appreciate, and you know, everybody who listens to Public Radio in North Texas appreciates your contribution of your hard-earned dollars. We are asking those of you who have yet to contribute to please do it right now.
Sometimes, you know, I like to liken public radio to a really fine meal made out of the best possible ingredients that is cooked slowly and with care. You know, you can go to any fast food restaurant or you can grab a milkshake somewhere and it might be fine going down, but you're not going to feel great later. and I think that's the difference. You know, there's lots of other sources of media information and there is nothing wrong with consuming them. I've been known to watch a little trashy TV when my studying is over, but you can't live on that. You can live on public radio. You really can. If this were the only source of information you had, you'd be okay.
Yeah, and it for many of you, and we hear from you all the time, this is your...
You do live on public radio.
Yeah, this is your key source of news and information. You know, so if that's the case, if it's the sort of the never-ending... And hey, that's great. We're thrilled to have you. But if this is the soundtrack to your life, please help support it with a little bit of financial support. The number to call is 888, it's 1-888-694-6931, or contribute online at KERA.org, because if you live on public radio, well, public radio lives
on you.
Your support.
Lives off you.
Well, 57% of the budget comes from your contribution. So it's the lion's share of the money that's necessary to run this station. So please do your part right now.
You're the base of the food pyramid of public radio. And now I'll stop that metaphor.
You're the grains.
You're the grains and exactly.
Right.
And the whole fruits and vegetables. 1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. You can also go to KERA.org online. If you are interested in any of the thank you gifts that you have heard discussed, the folks on the phone will know all about those. Or you can check them out online at KERA.org. You can do this with a credit or a debit card, or you can even make arrangements to write a check if you prefer. Again, our number, 1-888-694-6931. Back in a minute.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education. Hundreds of non-credit personal enrichment and professional development courses begin this spring. Details online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is artist Jaime Plensa. He has an exhibition opening at the Nasher Sculpture Center on January 30th that will run through May 2nd. It is called Jaime Plensa, Genus and Species. You can find information about the exhibition at nashersculpturecenter.org. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. How did you learn to manipulate and use all the materials that you use, all the media in your work?
Well, actually, I always been convinced that the main material are ideas. But every idea needs a certain support to be expressed. And that is the reason that I'm working with so many different kinds of material. But I guess when you want to do something, you just do it. Mm-hmm. I mean... I have a great team of assistants and other workshops, and I'm trying always to find the best people to do the best piece, in the way that many times I have the idea to work in one material, but I have not acknowledged in that material yet, and that you spend so much time really to try to know each other. No, it when you met first time the person, you have the first image, but you have to explore more.
Mm-hmm.
A material is very similar. Each material has their own memory, but many times you need to go deeper and deeper to really understand all the possibilities that material could offer you. But probably behind all those materials, I'm trying to be always me, in the way that I'm just using them as vehicles to support my ideas.
I would imagine that when you're looking for assistance, it's as important that they can understand and communicate well as the having really good hands and being able to execute something.
Of course, but normally all my assistants came because my feeling, I never ask about the technical capacity. I just feel the quality of a person, and because I guess technical aspects could be learned, but not the quality of a person. And I guess my team is always choosing that way, and I could tell you that they have the best team in the world.
Do you feel like a teacher to them as well?
Well, actually, I taught in Paris in the School of Fine Arts, and now I'm doing a seminar in the School of the Art Institute in Chicago this semester. And well, I'm pretty busy with my work and my exhibitions, my projects, my commissions, etc. But I'm trying always to try to make a break to teach or to do lectures, for example. I guess it's very important to keep the contact with youth or with other people. I never felt uncomfortable when people ask me, because I guess it's important, the dialogue and communication with the others, especially for artists, because many times you risk to get so close on yourself. And I love the porosity to understand the ideas of others.
Is there any difference at all for you when you receive a commission for a public work as opposed to something that will be exclusively in a private collection?
Sure, of course, of course. Well, normally I'm working my own work for my gallery shows or museum shows. But since a long, long time ago, I'm quite busy with public commissions. People realize that I have a certain capacity to work in public spaces, because I'm always trying with my work to celebrate that place, to make people feel proud about this area, to try to integrate my ideas and the site in a perfect way, to make a dialogue. And obviously, when you are working for a public place, you have to understand that you are working in the house of somebody else. But and this group of people didn't ask you about it. It's a politician or a municipality. And suddenly, one day, a group of people found in they own streets, something that nobody asks about it.
Yeah.
That it's a huge responsibility, I guess. When you have a commission of a private collector or a museum, it's different, because the museum or the collector knows your work and wants you exactly you. But in the public space, it's very risky, because people probably have not the knowledge about art that other people has. And you have to try to integrate your work with their own life. And I guess it's very exciting. I love that. And I did many pieces around the world that I guess are working very well in that direction.
All of your work is beautiful, meaning that it's pleasing to the eye. And I don't say that even so much as a compliment, as a statement of fact, because there are certain artists who believe that they need to sort of move away from things that are beautiful and tell stories with things that are very jarring. Mm-hmm. Was there a point in your career where you considered that idea and thought, I can say exactly what I need to say and still have things be beautiful every time?
Well, it's a good question again. Beauty is one of the main problems in art, what beauty means. Even if I have not an answer about what beauty means, I know that it's my responsibility to create beauty. And it's true that my work pretends a certain kind of beauty in itself. And because the materials, because the finishing of the surface, the patinas, etc. Probably it's because I'm coming from the Mediterranean area, and my background, it's Greek, Roman, etc. And I love when something could help you to grow up, you know. And I guess beauty is an amazing gas for your engine, and it helps you to feel that life is still possible, and you could be better. And I guess beauty is something that will be always part of my work.
Over the past couple of years, a lot of the shows that you've done have been characterized as mid-career retrospectives. And I wonder what the phrase mid-career means to you.
Sounds very bad. but in that case, the show at Nashe, it's 5 years of my work, mm-hmm. more or less. And it's true, probably it's the mid-career show because I'm 54. But I guess... it's a show arriving in a quite interesting moment. People know me probably better in the States thanks to the Crown Fountain in Chicago. Yeah. I did quite a lot of shows in private galleries in the States. I did several commissions in the States. And I guess that show really could explain to people much better who I am. And the Nashers knew my work since years. And I guess it was the perfect institution to bring all this large show exhibition in the States. And I'm really pleased that it's in Dallas.
Have you always been conscious of the idea that in your professional career, you would essentially straddle two centuries, two millennia?
Well, I guess it's key, of course. If you look back in history, all artists that step back in one and... force in another, we have a certain similarities. Van Gogh, Gauguin, or William Blake, these kind of people that were in between. No? And I'm in between. I was born in the 1955, and I guess it's a complex situation because you are not part of nothing, but you are. Not part also about future, because you are like a bridge. I always consider myself like a bridge in between, but that means that you have to build up a complete universe in your work, because it's not any other support, and I guess it's a very specific situation for an artist born in between. No? But if you look it back, it's a fantastic group of artists in that situation. I'm happy to be one of them.
Jaume Penta, it has been such a pleasure to have you in. Thank you very, very much. Good luck with everything.
A pleasure. Thank you.
The show, Jaume Penta, Genus and Species, opens Saturday, January 30th at the Nashe Sculpture Center and runs through May 2nd. We appreciate everyone who has been listening to us this hour. We also appreciate your support at 1-888-694-6931. You can also make a contribution to KERA by going online to kera.org. Jeff Whittington joins us now. Jeff, I will confess, I just had a really amazing time having that conversation, and I certainly hope that those of you in the audience have enjoyed it as well as I have. What a fascinating individual, and if you have a chance, even before the exhibition opens at the Nasher...
Just drive by.
The website, it's going up outside. Yeah. The website, jaumeplinsa.com, will convince you that you must see this work in person.
Yeah, Chris, I often say that... part of my job is to represent the audience in my own head to myself.
It's that, and it's worrying for a living. Those are the two elements of your job.
So I often listen like an audience member because I want to think about what the reaction of the audience is, just like you do in your head when you're having the conversation. I mean, that's what you do when you're doing an interview on the radio. It was great. I mean, wow, some amazing ideas, some amazing thoughts, some amazing conversational bits there, and you're not going to get that anywhere else in this media market except right here on KERA. Now, Lee Romack in Dallas knows that. That's why Lee has supported the station. Brenda Cannon in Irving, Amy Martin in The Colony, and also Dr. Allison Stringer in Addison. They all know that. They called 1-888-694-6931 or went online to kera.org and made a contribution.
What matters in your life? If it is things like things, maybe public radio membership is last on your list. But if you really live your life according to the value that learning and education and ideas are important, support a radio station that makes it possible to explore those. You know, the one thing we really love about producing Think is that it's different every day. You know, we can spend an hour on local history of something like White Rock Lake and then move into sculpture in the 21st century with one of the foremost artists working today who has this show taking place that you'll be able to see. Both of them have a hook, a connection to North Texas, but we hope that they sound to you like things that you could hear, you know, from a national show. But the fact that we're able to have a local show here is something of a luxury. It is thanks to the contributions of people like you that we can have a significant enough local staff to produce content just for North Texas.
And, you know, and I often compare guests like Jaume Plensa to, you know, he early in the conversation, was talking a lot about Brancusi and that particular Brancusi piece at the Nasher. And I think about if we had been making this show in 1904, 1910, not 2010, those are the kinds of people that we would have had on. And it's your station that is able to get these guests in here so that you can listen to them talk for an hour about what is in their minds. What are they thinking when they're creating these amazing artworks? That's what it's all. That's it. There's nothing else to it. It's we want to bring the guest in here so that you who listen to the show can hear what they have to say about their work. And you know, we weren't able to get Isamu Noguchi. We have been able to get Jaume Plensa and Jeff Koons. We have been able to get Twyla Tharp. We have been able to get people like that. So it's all on behalf of you. So that you can hear these voices, so you can hear these masters of their art forms sitting right here in your local public radio station studio. That's what we're asking you to support, the fact that the station is here to bring you that kind of conversation.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number to make your pledge of support, which really translates to a vote of support for this kind of programming in North Texas. I want to thank Mark McGrath in Dallas for giving an additional gift. Really appreciate that. Also, a new member, Dr. Val Khan from Dallas, Val Khan Muslu in Dallas. Thank you so much.
1-888-694-6931. Did you hear what I just did there? I was about to say 1-800. I can't get past the 888 thing still.
I know. So just remember it's 888.
So it's 1-888-694-6931.
No matter what we say.
That's right. It's 888, people. 888-694-6931. Online at kera.org. Do your part for your public radio station, because your public radio station does something for you every day. You turn on the radio, you get in the car, it's there like water flowing from the tap. Chris, a couple of weeks ago in my neighborhood, we had a couple of water main breaks. We were without water for a couple of long periods, a couple of days in a row. And there is nothing like missing something you just totally take for granted.
You don't think about it until it's not there.
You get up in the morning, you're going to make coffee. There's no coffee. There's nothing.
No shower.
there's nothing. And imagine turning on the radio and not having KERA. I mean, that's what it would feel like. You would say, "Oh my gosh, I can't be informed." You know, not only forget the shower. I can't find out what's going on around the world, around the area. You know, that's what it would be like. And that's why we're asking you to support it, because we know that you listen and you get a lot out of this station.
And it's not just information, it's also exploration of ideas. I could have read you Jaume Plensa's biography or a list of bullet points about the specific dates and the pieces that he's put out there, and you might have thought, that's interesting. Hearing from the artist himself and what he thinks about when he's creating pieces and how he deals with the people that he works with and how he gets nervous every time he's about to put an exhibition on, and he packs his ideas into those crates, and so he's very that's fascinating to me, and that's the delight and the surprise and the serendipity of public radio that you make possible at 1-888-694-6931.
It is really amazing to hear a superstar international audience talk about his responsibility and the privilege of his position and the privilege of what his career is. I mean, you know, it opened up a lot of eyes, I guess I should say, for me to hear an artist of his caliber talk about his real thoughts and his real emotions and what he deals with. And Chris, hats off to you, because of course, you do such great preparation for these kinds of conversations, and it always is such a great conversation. So thanks, and thanks to you for your support at 1-888-694-6931.
It's very kind of you. It really is. It's our privilege to be able to bring you this content, and we have to say thank you to you, because we would not be here on the air if not for one contribution at a time from you at 1-888-694-6931. You can also make that contribution online at kera.org.
It is your source for NPR News, KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth Denton, and, you know, it's online at kera.org. Thanks.
The Think production team includes associate producer Betsy Lewis and engineer Nilofer Arsala. Our senior producer is Jeff Whittington. Learn more about today's show, find out about upcoming programs, and download our free daily podcasts at kera.org/think. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@kera.org.